Good, good, good. And I was nice to you because in the youth, I make them do, like, I count how many they are, I make them give everybody a high five, they're like, oh, okay, they're good. Like, it's got to be different, so I didn't make everybody do everybody today, okay, just three high fives. So, God is good, right? All the time. And all the time? Right? So, as I was thinking about, because I've known for a little while that I'm going to preach, and I had a couple ideas what I was going to do, and I was just like praying, you know, Lord, what should I do? What should I preach on? And it actually hit me when I was sitting right here in the seats on Wednesday. And I was like, Lord, just, you know, I've got a couple ideas, but I want it to be your idea. So you just lead and guide me. And when I opened my eyes, I literally saw the word hope. Okay? So I thought, got it, Lord. Thank you. Enough said. You didn't just write it once, but it's twice up there. So I got it. Thank you, Lord. Got it. So we're gonna talk about hope today. And, you know, it's something that the world needs to see. It's something that we always need to see, and it's something we always know of, right? I just love how the Holy Spirit works, right? Because we always pray that there's prayer in here from 8:30 to 9 o'clock every Sunday, and we're always praying to prepare the service. And the Lord never, ever misses it. He always shows up. And we do our part, we do our prayer, but then as soon as we do that, we invite him here. And that just means that it's open. We're preparing the ground, but he does it, right? So when we do that, it makes things flow so much easier. When we rely on the Holy Spirit, man, it just makes us look so good. And we just need to point back to him and say, that's all him. Thank you, Lord. And this wasn't in my notes, but it just hit me because, I mean, Pastor Ricky could do tithe and offering on any verse in the Bible, right? And then he talks about hope in there, and it's just like, God, thank you so much for preparing this for us. And he said in Romans, what was it here, 8:19, right? It said, for the anxious longing of the creation. It's that anxious expectation. We're longing. We're believing for it. That's what hope is. It's an anxious. So thank you, Pastor Ricky, for setting the definition up for us. We got that. Now we know what hope is, so we don't have to cover that part. So let's just jump into it. I'm going to pray, and then we'll get right into it. So, Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you are here. I thank you that you've prepared this time, and you've prepared me. But, Lord, you would just let me remember the words that I've studied, but also the words I haven't studied. You show me what to say and what not to say. Lord, you just guide my tongue today, because I don't want it to be about me at all, but about you, Lord. So we just hope that you will be here, and we know that you are here. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, even in that prayer, I said, I hope that you'll be here. That's an earnest expectation. We already know he's here, so it's not like he said, Pastor Ricky was talking about, you're not sitting at the bus stop thinking, well, maybe it'll show up today. Or, you know, like if somebody says, I'll be there at 3:30 to pick you up, you're expecting them to be there at 3:30. 3:33 rolls around, you're like, oh, maybe they just run a little bit behind. And I get it, stuff happens, but like, you're like, okay, is everything good? You're expecting that to be there. Then you start texting and calling, hey, you all good? Yeah, yeah, just, you know, traffic. But it's like you had that earnest expectation. Imagine if we had that, and we believed for that with God, right? And we had that hope. Well, he is our hope, okay? So the first one we're going to go to, I'm going to go to a couple places in the Bible today. We're going to keep all the New Testament. As you do this, whatever you're doing, taking notes, doing all this stuff, I would really encourage you, again, as Pastor Ricky said, you know, like you get what out of it, what you put into it. So I just love it when the Holy Spirit flows like this. It's so awesome. So I would encourage you, take notes, do whatever you're doing, okay? Write these scriptures down. But if you don't have your Bible with you, and I get it, we have it on our phone, it's so much easier. A lot of times I'm guilty of that, doing it on my phone. But write these scriptures down and go back to your actual paper-bound Bible, okay? And go back to these scriptures and highlight the words I'm going to highlight to you. Well, I should say the words that God has highlighted to me, okay? So specifically on hope. And I mean, what better time to hear about hope, right? I mean, this whole thing going on, not us, not this church. We weren't affected. Actually, we were more than, we're overcomers. We're filled here. So Brittany and I, we've had the greatest year of our life. It's just like, and it's only going to get better. That's the best part is, because I'm jumping ahead, but just, it's so cool. God is so good, right? So let's go to 1 Peter 1:3. And I gave these to Steve, who is awesome. So I think he's going to have them up on the screen. Awesome. Now, who loves updates, right? Yeah? When you have to update your phone or something like that? No, I don't. I'm just kidding. But like certain things happen. We're working on this too. We're trying to make it so we can get all the scripture on there and stuff. Sometimes it's tiny and stuff like that. Sometimes it's big. We're trying to figure that out. We're trying to get that going. But it's okay, right? Yeah. So if it's tiny on the screen, open your Bible. Yeah. All right, there you go. There you go. Or pull it up on your phone, right? So we can get there fast, and Steve will get it there fast for us. But let's do this, right? So it's 1 Peter 1:3, and it reads, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Christ from the dead. We could stay here the whole time. We really could. A living hope, okay? So I'm going to have some keywords here. If you would write, underline living and hope, okay? We have a living hope, right? Our hope is alive because we don't serve a God that is dead. Our God is alive, right? My God's not dead. He's surely alive, right? I'm not going to sing for you. They did a great job up there, killed it, okay? That's not my calling or my gifting. Although, you know, some think it. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm just playing. But, you know, we serve a living God. Like, it's just sad to me when you see people that believe in other things, and like, the one I think of is like, when you go to like, you see Buddha, and they like lay their hands on Buddha, and they pray to him and stuff like that. You see this image that is rusting. It is literally getting tarnished and stuff like that. We don't go to something to pray to that God. We look to an empty cross, okay? The cross is empty. My God no longer lives there. He is alive, right? We have a living hope, and it's living on the inside of us, right? God is so good. He's so good. Like, it just makes it so easy. We can just run to him and look to him as a living hope. So if people around you are listening to the news and worried about what the news says, people have to, hey, did you see this? The news said, I don't watch TV. If I watch something, it doesn't have commercials. Or if it does, I skip it or mute it because, like, certain things say stuff. And I'm like, not dogging at anybody, but even on one of the Christian stations one time, they're talking, I was like, man, they need to get their faith up. I was thinking, because that's not me. That's not us. That's not our church. We're not. So, I mean, we're all at different places in our walk. We are. I get it. And we're not going to dog anybody, we're not going to talk trash about anybody. We're all different places. We're going to all get there, though, right? We're all going to get there. But man, sometimes it's like, man, I got to get my faith up a little bit, okay? What's cool about this word here is this hope, and I feel like the English language is so basic or so like simple sometimes compared to like when you go back and look at this thing, because like the word hope here, this specific word hope, is used, repeated here in verse 13, 21, and then in chapter 3, verse 5 and 15, okay? That's all just that one word of hope. Then I was thinking, well, then there's hope throughout the whole Bible, right? Yeah. But it's like, man, our English language just doesn't even like encompass the whole word here, yes. Right? We just think hope, and it means all these things, but man, they had different words for it. It's like, man, sometimes that'd be so much easier, like, even the word love, like it breaks down so many ways. Like, I love you and I love this. Like, you don't love God the same way you love a candy bar. But like, we use the same word. Back then, they had different words for that kind of stuff. You knew like, okay, I like the candy bar. I love my God, right? But here, this is a hope, right? A living hope. And I'm so grateful for a living hope. Anybody else here grateful for a living hope, right? So there we go. I got a couple hands. That's what I'm talking about. I love it. I talk about this sometimes, and the youth have probably heard it, and I almost brought a picture up, but my people get kind of squirmish or whatever. But when I was in a freshman in high school, I had leg surgery on my leg. It was actually 2 inches shorter. That's a lot, actually, for, you know. And the reason I found out was in eighth grade, they did the scoliosis test. You bend over. They thought I had the worst case of scoliosis because it was like this, and like, You know, I was like, yeah, I mean, my one leg's a little bit shorter than the other. I didn't know how much. And they're like, yeah, well, let me just refer you to this doctor. Went to that doctor, like, yeah, it's off by quite a bit. And they gave me two options. So it was very clear what I was going to do. But the first option was, hey, it's a lot less painful. We could go in and we could actually take some bone out of this leg. It'll make it a little bit shorter. I'm like, come on now. I'm a guy. I'm not getting any shorter. Let's go. That's out of here. What's the other option? You know what I mean? Like, can we do both legs? And I said, actually, you can. I said, no, I'm just kidding. But there are people that could get, like, up to 6 inches taller out of your legs. I was like, no. No, not doing that. I was just kidding. But let's do it on this leg. So the process is pretty brutal, pretty excruciating. But through this, I had a living hope that I could go back to. And so, long story short, you put two pins in here and two pins in here, drilled into the leg, put an external fixator on it right there, and then once that's secure, they go in and they actually make another incision, then they take a drill and drill your bone like this a bunch of times, and then they go in and break it, okay? So it's better to keep not a clean cut, then they go in and do that. And then the process is I turn a key, or an Allen wrench, 4 times a day to slowly separate the leg. So what happens is, in the time, your bone starts to heal. But right before it actually heals, you turn the key again. And it's right before it heals again, you turn the key again. But what it does is it tricks it into keep on growing. And it actually works. So like, as I stand here today, okay? But what it does is it does this process, okay? And that took months, right? And the whole time I was going through it, me and my mom, every single day without fail, we prayed. Okay, we didn't just say, Lord, if you will, please. It was like, no, it was an earnest expectation. Lord, heal this leg and heal it faster than ever. Show your way here, Lord, and just make it work, okay? So, and we knew it was going to work, but we just said, Lord, heal it faster than ever, all right? And that whole started thing was actually in kindergarten, first grade, okay? So I'm not trying to go on, but this just kind of shows how long of a process this was. Kindergarten, first grade, I had something called Perthes disease, so my hip deteriorated and it grew back, and in that time, like, I had to miss a lot of school, but in that time of deteriorating and regrowing back, this leg didn't grow as fast as this leg. That's why it happened, right? So that's the whole thing. So from kindergarten all the way to my freshman year in high school is this time of me, like, limping and not knowing exactly how bad it was. But when we did this process, we looked to God. We said, Lord, use this physician. Because I believe in doctors. I don't put my faith in doctors. If they say you have this, I say, Lord, I've got this, I've got blessings, I've got healing. But I said, Lord, use this physician and guide his hand and do this, okay? And the process was actually healed 3 months early, right? 3 months early. And he couldn't say, oh, that's scientific. And people could probably try to point, say, oh, you were young at the time. No. The bone heals the way the bone heals, whether you're young or old, just the process of it. But my God, with a living hope, healed it faster. I had an earnest expectation. Yeah, give glory to God. God is good. That's a living hope, right? That's what we long for. We long for a living hope, and we know that God is there. That's what's so cool is that we get to serve a living God. We're not serving. We don't go and mourn his death at the grave. We look to a living hope. Okay, so that's my first one there. A living hope, and again, that was 1 Peter 1:3. So go back to your Bible, underline that one. Okay, we're gonna move on to. Don't worry, guys. I only have 20 pages of notes. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just playing. 1 Thessalonians 5:8. And while you turn there, I want you to think about this, okay? Think about your testimony. Because Satan would love nothing more than you to forget about what God's already done for you. Okay? So in youth, we do this a lot of times. They say, you got a 2-minute testimony. I literally put 2 minutes on the clock. And that's not because God is only 2 minutes long. It's because, realistically, somebody's going to only listen to you for 2 minutes before they kind of check out. So get your testimony to 2 minutes, and then we switch. And then somebody else gets to go. And after that 2 minutes, if they ask you questions, then it opens it up. But God is so good, we don't limit him to 2 minutes. But it's like, again, you just talk to somebody, and it's called a 2-minute testimony. And I bring that up because you cannot forget about what God has already done for you, right? And when we do that, it just brings others here. And that's what we're doing. That's what I want to do today, is point you to the cross. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 5:8. It reads, but since we are of the day, sorry, let me just say, I'm out of the NASB Bible today, if that helps Steve up there, NASB. And if it's not 100% the same translation, that's where I'm at, NASB. If you have your phone out, awesome, you can click on NASB if you want to. It says, but since we are of the day, let us be sober, having of the breastplate of faith in the love in as us in love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Okay? So the hope of salvation. Again, underline hope and salvation, or hope of salvation if you want to read the whole thing there. But we have a saving hope. Right? We don't just, oh, if you could save me from this, Lord. No, it's we have, as we said, a longing, an expectation that, Lord, you have saved me. I will walk in your saving grace. Thank you, Lord. So there's a lot of things that we question in our life, but one thing we don't have to question is, am I saved? Because as soon as you say that, you are saved. Lord, thank you for your saving grace. Thank you for your hope. Thank you for your saving hope. And you know, there's still temptations. Even when you become saved, it does not mean that you're, oh, free and clear. I'm a Christian now. There's no more temptations. Phew, that's good. No. As a matter of fact, the enemy wants to get you even more. That's not to scare you, but that's to realize that we open our eyes and realize, okay, we need that saving hope. I need to go to him daily. And the thing is, you see, like, oh, people, oh, why has nothing happened to them? Well, that's between him and God, or her and God. But sometimes Satan doesn't go after people he's already got. Okay, so if he's coming after you, you should think of that as a badge. Got it. Because guess what? That means that I'm a threat to him. You are a threat to Satan. He doesn't want you to know that, but we already do. Too late. We already got it. All right? I've got a saving hope, and my hope saved me from what he wants me to have. Too late. Sorry. That account is closed. I only receive good things from God. Hallelujah. All right, so we're going to go to Hebrews 6:19. Okay? I like this one too. You're probably saying, I had hope so. You made the message, right? We better all hope for this. I didn't really like this one, but no, I'm just kidding. Now, Hebrews 6:19. And you can literally just go on your phone, which is so cool now. We have the Bible at our fingertips. And sometimes that makes us almost like take it for granted. But I just love it because it's so cool. You can literally type a word in there, and it'll just give you a list of like all the references. You can go there and do all that and find all the scriptures. So if you're looking for hope, these are just a starting point, okay, these scriptures I'm giving you today. You can literally just go back and just hope. And whatever word you need that day, you can literally Google it. It's so crazy. You can Google the word and find like at least 50 scriptures for it, you know. And we sometimes take that for granted. So don't take that for granted. Just because we have easy access to this, not everybody does. Right. Some people don't even have the Bible translated in their language yet. So we're believing for that too, you know? So these are the things that we have to, we hope for, okay? So Hebrews 6:19, it says, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope for both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil. Okay, the words you're going to do here is sure. Yeah, you're going to underline hope and sure, because he is a sure hope. It's a sure thing. If you're thinking about this, that, and other thing, like, oh, is this whatever? Like, there's not too many things in this world that are a sure thing. You know what I mean? There's things that just, oh, it's kind of like 50-50, but this is a sure thing. God is a sure thing. He's our sure hope. So, I'm just laughing because Pastor Ricky asked me to come up here and preach, and that's because he's on call. So if he leaves, that doesn't give you the excuse to leave, okay? just saying, okay? He might have to, if he leaves, he's not just dipping out because my word, okay? I mean, because it's anointed, okay? God is, just kidding. But I'm just saying, like, it's a funny thing, but it is. But even that, though, Pastor Ricky being here is not a sure thing. Okay? And thank you, Holy Spirit, for just giving me that idea right now. Like, Pastor Ricky being here is not a sure thing. We can have hope that he'll preach a good word, and we do. We expect that he's going to bring a good word, which is a lot of pressure on him. Really, it is. But guess what? The Holy Spirit and God always lead him and guide him to have a great thing. But the thing is, we can't have a sure hope in Pastor Ricky. Can't have a sure hope even in your mom and dad. Can't have a sure thing. There's nothing that is sure. There's nothing more sure than God. Yes. He is the sure hope. Yes. Right? And there's nothing that is as sure as him. Yeah. Right? You build the foundation for your house, you hope it's as sure as God, but it can't. It can crack. Like, that's what everything is built upon. But we need to have ourselves sure and anchored in the Lord. Okay? When you buy a boat or you get a boat, if somebody blesses you with a boat, glory to God, hallelujah. You don't want to just go out. You do your checklist and you believe it's going to be good everything. And my boat will run forever. And it's a Chevy, so hallelujah. It's going to start every time. And it does. It starts every single time. It is so awesome. But even with that, I put an anchor in my boat. Okay? Because God is the only sure hope. Okay, the anchor is important. Just like being anchored in the Lord, you have to have an anchor for your boat. Yep. You want to stop to go fishing, you're doing fireworks, you want to stop and watch the fireworks on 4th of July, which is so fun to watch on the river. All right, or not my boat, but if somebody else's boat breaks down, you just throw the anchor out, you stop, you call for help, whatever, but not my boat, because my boat is awesome, all right? It's clear. My stuff doesn't break down because God has already blessed it. Hallelujah. And that's a promise we have from the Lord. But God is a sure hope. He is the only thing that is sure. Yeah. Even on like certain things, it says 99.999% sure. Like, you know, like 99% this, or this, da da da. But it's like, God is 100%, 100% of the time. Yeah. Yeah. All right? And I say this before, and he's a sure hope. And my youth pastor growing up said, he's so good that if he played golf, he'd get an 18 out of 18 every time. If you didn't know, 18 holes is a full, you know, back nine, front nine, back nine. And a perfect score would be 18. It's impossible, but my God would do that. That's what he said. So I like sports. I like sports analogies. And if you don't, I'm sorry because you're with me today. Just kidding. But God is a sure hope, right? How many people know that, like, it's good to have something that is sure, right? Like, you go out to your car, ours are going to start because they're blessed. But, like, some people don't know. They just don't. Lord, am I going to get to work today? Or as Pastor Ricky was talking about, you had that earnest expectation that the bus is going to get there, but what if it broke down? You know, that is, you're expecting it to be there, but how am I going to get to work today? That is not even a sure thing, but God is sure, and he will surely bless us. Amen. Romans 8, 24 and 25. We're going to go there next. Good. Say amen when you get there.
Amen.
Amen. Good, good, good. Okay. He says, for in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one also hope for what he sees? Now, verse 25 here says, but if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. That's that eagerly waiting again. It's an unseen hope, right? So we have a sure hope, but we also have what's called an unseen hope. Because I don't know about you, but I've never seen the personal face of God. I see his workings in and through me and everything he's blessed me with, but I've never seen the personal face of God. Moses, he had that experience, which is great. And even he still misses sometimes, right? Isn't that a little bit like, okay, cool, he missed it. But like, we have to have what's called an unseen hope. So if you want to underline anything, it's we've underlined hope for what we do not see, right? We call that an unseen hope. And God is the only sure hope we have, right? But we have to look to this unseen hope. And we have to keep our focus on him. Even though we can't see him, we know he's there. Right? Because of everything, as I said before, you go back to your testimony. You know what he's done before. So if that bill comes up, and you're like, I don't see it in my bank account, Well, guess what? You have an unseen hope. Because that unseen hope is going to fill that maybe unseen bank account, all right? They're going to fill it up. Not they, sorry, God is going to fill it up. And because he has always done it before, he will always do it again. So when we see that bill, just, cool, it's already paid for, thanks. And we don't have to worry about it because that unseen hope is there. Just because we can't see the actual personal face of God. I mean, if you do, please show me a picture because I'd love to see it. But I have never seen the personal face of God. That's what we call it, an unseen hope. And let's see here. I thought of this too as like running a marathon, right? Everybody always calls life a marathon. It's not a sprint. And the way I looked at it was like in a sprint, you run from here to there, and you can see the end line. You can see the finish line. Even if you're like, okay, it's one sprint around the track, you're like, oh, I start here, I'm going to end here. That's a seen hope. With a marathon, or even a 5K, which I did for the first time last year, was great. And with a marathon, you don't see the end. Like, you don't see it. Like, you literally hope there's an end in sight. You hope that there's an end out there. So this is called an unseen hope. Like, I literally hope that finish line is out there, and I hope it's correct because I don't want to run any more than I have to, but like, it's an unseen hope. And just like that unseen hope of the finish line, we hope that's out there. Well, we know God because he's a sure thing. Even though he's an unseen hope, he is the sure hope. So just like running, and as I get older, I actually don't mind running as much, and but most people don't enjoy running and don't enjoy waiting. But as I get older, I'm actually kind of enjoy running a little bit more, and I'm doing a lot better with waiting and knowing that God is there. Even though certain things are unseen, I know God is there, and he is my unseen hope, okay? So we're going to go to Titus 3:7, okay? When we keep our focus on the Lord, we're more apt to hit the target, okay? So I'm a PE teacher, greatest job ever. I love it, so cool. I get to play sports all day and have fun with kids, and I just really do love my job. And I didn't always love my job. I might talk about that a little later, but I love to go to work, and I had this one class with my special needs kids, and there's like only eight of them, and we have like three or four teachers in there still, like three or four aides and then me. And I'm doing this stuff, and like you're literally watching, make sure nobody's leaving the classroom and stuff like this. Like you're looking for them, making sure you keep an eye on them and stuff. But I still like to play with them, so I'm out there shooting hoops and stuff. But I notice when I'm shooting hoops, but if my eye is on that one student that's looking like they're going to leave, where does my shot go? It goes that way. I'm looking this way, and I tend to miss the target because my eyes got off the target. My eyes got off the goal. We have to have, even if it's an unseen hope, we can still fix it on God because we know him. We know his glory. We know what he's done for us. So if you can't look at him like the actual person, you can look at that bill that was paid. And if you have a bill that you didn't know how it was going to get paid and it got paid, maybe mark it. Put a date on there. Paid in full. Done. And put that up because that's God showing you he was there. Because sometimes we think of, oh, God, just show up. He already did. And he always will. But look at where he already has shown up. So we have to keep our faith there. We have to keep that eager expectation that he will do it again. He will do it again. And he will do it again. Because that's our God. He's a sure thing. So when I look at that basketball hoop, I tend to make, I'm not great, obviously, but I'm working on it. I'm getting better and better. But I tend to make more baskets when I actually look at the hoop, right? That's just how it works. But when my eye starts to wander, like, oh, is he going to, oh, missed it. And then the one student that's passing me, he goes, oh, missed. And I laugh and we laugh and then it's fun. You need to get somebody like that in your life too, okay? Get a battle buddy that's going to be there throwing you a pass, throwing you a scripture of the day, throwing you a prayer that's there, oh, you missed it, but get the next one, all right? But that's why we got to get around people that we love and can just hang out with, okay? We don't have to love everybody. We don't have to like everybody, but we have to show our love to everybody. Don't take that account. Pastor Richard said, so, I didn't see, let me get that back. You don't have to like everybody. And sometimes you have to just tolerate people. But those tend to be the people we should be praying for most. All right? If you didn't hear Brittany's scripture word on Wednesday, listen to that. That is a true testimony of what God does. She was at a, there was one person giving her a hard time. Guess what? She prayed. And God did it a different way. Because God, that's how God does it. God does it His way. And we need to look to His way. Right? All righty. That's good right there, guys. So keep our eye on the target. We have that hope. Even if it's an unseen hope, we still know what He has done. So we can always look back to what He has done and know that He's going to do it again. That's so good. I told you to go to Titus, right? Titus 3:7? Perfect. Alrighty, it reads, that be justified by His grace, glory to God, we're justified by His grace, glory, we might be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Hope of eternal life. It says heirs. Means you have the right to that. So when you're the heir to an inheritance, you're expecting that. Like somebody, hey, guess what? You know, we're not longing for the day for somebody to pass away, but when I do, this is yours. Okay? Well, we have that expectation of this too. We have eternal life. We have a hope for eternal life, but it is a sure thing because we have an heir to that. We have been brought in. We have been morphed into the lineage of Jesus when we accepted Him as our Lord and Savior. Amen. We have an eternal hope, right? And I hope we have an earnest expectation for that more than we do lunch today or whatever, you know, or going through the Starbucks line. Brittany said she has a story for me later. I think it's probably going to be funny. We'll see. But you know, it's not funny. She says, okay. So, but we should really have more hope in eternal life than we do in the Starbucks lady that's going to make your drink, right? I hope she makes that right for my wife because there's nothing that makes me so happy when I see her get that coffee. She loves it, you know. I'm just saying. I love to bless my wife, is what I mean. So, or I go to Dutch Bros, I get her a drink, right? I hope they make it right. Because I don't like coffee, so I'm not going to try it and see if it tastes right because that ain't good. I don't like coffee. But I love to bless my wife and do that. So I really do hope they do it. But I have a much higher hope and a much more expecting of this eternal life and this eternal hope of God than I ever do in any person, let alone the lady at Starbucks I've never met. Or, you know, Dutch Bros, they actually kind of know me. They're starting to know me by name almost. But just playing. But they say stuff. That's sweet, too. It's good to see you again. Oh, thanks. You probably said to everybody, but hey, good. You're doing a great job. but we have an eternal hope. And I mean, what better thing to have a sure thing in eternity? Some people long and don't even know what's going to happen after this life. If you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have an eternal hope. Right? And our best days are ahead of us. I believe my best days are ahead of us on this earth even. But I know that even if I had the worst day or the worst year or the worst rest of my life, which I'm not going to, I am blessed and highly favored. But even if I had the worst days, I have an eternal hope that I know that I'm going to heaven. I know for a fact I'm going to heaven. And I can stand on that. And as we've said too many times, we've already been broken for the good. I mean, I already know this. You've missed it, Satan. You can't get me now. I already know. I already know what I have. I have an eternal hope. And it's not going anywhere but up. Right? So glory to God. That is good. I say that because God just gave me that. So praise God. That's what God does too. And there's something too when you make a message, you do your message. But it's so funny because God just knows what we need to say. God knows what the people need to hear. So no matter what's written on these words, it's kind of like a starting point. And it's like I just highlight certain things. Like, okay, I should probably touch on that. I should probably hit this. But then God just fills the rest in. It's no matter what, because I type out my whole thing and I do my best. I do my studying. I do that stuff. But God just takes the message and makes it His. And isn't that really what we should be pointing to anyways? Isn't that really what we should be longing for? Is that more of You, Lord, and less of me. More of You and less of me. So, yeah, that's good. So So I wanted to tell you a couple of stories about a couple of sports things, and if you don't like sports, I'm sorry, but maybe you can at least get the analogy, okay? So there's a guy you might have heard of him before. His name is Michael Jordan. He's all right at basketball. I'm just kidding. He's really good at basketball. And he had a way of just talking trash, obviously, and he would get in his opponent's heads and stuff like that. But he had this confidence about him, right? So much so that, like, there's this rookie. He's at the free throw line, and there's this rookie over here talking trash. And if you know anything about basketball, don't talk trash to the greatest. I mean, the best person, because it's not going to get under his skin. He's done it. He's done it too many times to know he's going to do it again. All right? Now, nothing even close to God, obviously. But I'm saying God has done so many things to us, for us, that we just know he's going to do it again. Yeah. We just know he's going to do it again. So he's sitting on the foul line, looks this guy dead in the face at the foul line. This is what you don't do usually, okay? Looks at him and says, "Welcome to the NBA." And makes a foul shot while he's looking at this guy, right? That's the kind of confidence we need to have, all right? We need to have that. That's confidence. I mean, he was probably a little bit cocky about it too, but we need to have what's called a confidence about us. Don't let anybody get discourage you about a confidence. Because if our confidence leads back to Jesus, then we're doing it right. If it leads back to me, that's cockiness, and I'm doing it wrong, okay? But nobody can ever say anything about your confidence in the Lord. If they do, just say, "I'm sorry, that's him." Because I've got a confidence about me. I want to have a confidence about me that I walk through life, okay? Like Michael Jordan made that foul shot, you know, like with a confidence. Like, "I got this," you know? Like, he didn't think, "Oh, I might make this shot," as I look at him. Because, I mean, if he did, he wouldn't have shot it. He would have focus and did that, okay? Now keep your focus on the Lord and the goal, okay? But he had that, right? Now another one is, basketball, but Larry Bird, also another great player. I'm kind of partial because I'm a Celtics fan. I think he's one of the greatest. Just kidding. But he had to do a commercial, right? And he had to do a foul shot. And they said, "Okay, you got to miss the foul shot, and then we'll talk about da-da-da, whatever." It took him, I don't even remember, like over, I want to say like over 10 attempts to miss a shot. Because he'd done it so many times before. What happens is when you get to that foul line, I don't know if you ever watched a foul shot, they have an exact thing they do every single time. And it works. So they don't change it. Get up there, whatever your routine is, spin, look up here, spin, shoot the ball. You got 10 seconds to do it or it's a violation, okay? He does that, and they wanted a real look of it. So he had to do the exact same thing he always does. And when he does it, makes it. What happens is muscle memory takes over. Even though you want, he's like, "All right, I got to miss this shot." Like he was making shots they told him to miss. Like it was muscle memory taking over. So what we need to do is build a muscle memory of this hope. I know he's got it. It's a sure thing. It's a sure hope. Why would I look anywhere else but to God? Muscle memory takes over. Somebody's talking trash? Got this. Somebody's doing this? Satan pops us up? Got this. Okay, muscle memory. Our muscle memory needs to point back to this right here. This needs to be our muscle memory. This needs to be where we go to. Because if you say, "Oh, I can't see God, I've never seen God," then open this up. Even as an unseen God, he's right here. If I could paint a picture, it's right here. Okay, it's right here. So we look to this unseen God, this sure, just sure hope. It's right here. So realistically, it's not that hard to go back. Now, it's not always easy. I know that doesn't make sense. How is it not hard, but it's not easy, right? Because you got to put the work in. We know it's there. Here's the test. If somebody gave you the answers to a test and said, "Study these, you'll get 100%. Right? Would you do it? If somebody told you, "Here's the answers," and it's not cheating because the teacher gave you the answers. Here, study this, and you get 100% of the test. That's not cheating because the teacher actually gave you it, right? Well, our teacher gives us the answers to the book, to the test, and it's not cheating because he gave it to us. It's an open book. Shouldn't we read it? Right? Now, that's not, I missed it too. I still miss it. I wish I said, "Oh yeah, I got it memorized." But there's times that come up and you're like, "Missed it. But Lord, thank you for the next time. Because you've done it before and you'll do it again." I've messed up before and I'm probably going to mess up again. I'm trying not to, but probably will. But here's the thing. We are saved by grace. Now, we don't want to taint the grace and say, well, saved by grace, I can do whatever I want, and then on Sunday, I'll just come in and do it. No, we need not be here just Wednesdays and Sundays, okay? We need to be in this more than when Pastor Ricky tells the word, or Pastor Chelsea tells the word, or Brittany, or anybody, or Clinton, whoever's bringing the word that week. Guess what? It's not their word to bring. It's just the Lord's word. And it's an open book test. We go back to here. And again, I'm not harping on anybody because I still miss it too. Do I need to be in the Word more? I think we all could be in the Word more. Some people study for hours. They could still be in the Word more. Some people do just the first of the day sometimes, and I could definitely be in the Word more. Things like that, you know? But guess what? We've all missed it, but we're all saved by grace, right? Glory to God. So before we go, I actually wanted to look at the word hope, okay? So God has blessed me so much. And this is not on me, but he's blessed me to do woodworking stuff. And the pastors asked me to make this sign. So I was like, okay, cool. They gave me a vision, and I went with it. And I was actually thinking of doing, like, barbed wire for the O, but I couldn't find it. It was, like, $50, which is not much, but for, like, 1,000 feet of it. I was like, I don't want 1,000 feet of barbed wire. I just need, like, 20, 30 feet of it. You know, I don't want 1,000 feet of it. I guess we could have sold it, too, but it's like I didn't want 1,000 feet of it. But I think that's because he had a better plan, all right? Went to Walmart, found this piece right here, and it was wood. I was like, man, I think this looks more like a crown of thorns than the barbed wire did. But I hope that you see that this was an H, a P, and E. Obviously, the O is supposed to represent the crown of thorns, okay? And when I look at this, I think of the hope of Jesus, okay? We made it for Easter, but the thing is, our hope isn't just on Easter, right? We look at the cross, and our hope isn't in the cross, because if you look up the cross, it's actually a very brutal thing, and a lot of people like want to make fun of people for wearing, oh, you're wearing the cross, so it's like a, one of the most brutal ways to actually execute somebody is the cross, okay? Our hope isn't in the cross. Our hope is that the cross is empty, okay? It's empty, and our God sent his son to die on that cross, not that one, that'd be really cool, but that on the cross itself, and our hope is in that he died and 3 days later rose again. That cross is empty, okay? And our hope is in an empty cross, in an empty tomb, but full bodies with the Holy Spirit. Because when he did that, he just opened it. He literally tore, when he did that, the veil tore from the top down. And if you've ever studied it all, I'm not a professional at all, obviously, but the veil was like, I think a foot thick or something like that. There's no tearing there. And if so, like, you'd have to literally cut through it. And the only way to do that, you'd have to cut up because that's the only way it would work. But that's what God does. He does things only he could do, so we know it was him. And like, even though we can't see the face of God, it's an unseen God. He's an unseen God, not it. He is an unseen God. But he just shows up in so many ways, it's like, how can we not see it? You know? And sometimes the disciples missed it, and it kind of gives me a little bit of hope. Cool, they missed it too. Like, I still got this. All right, but it's like, we have this. And we have the answers to the test right here. And just because, thank you, Lord, just because the teacher gave you the answers to the test, doesn't mean you don't have to take the test, all right? Here, this is not cheating. Take the answers. Go take it. How would you love it if, like, your teacher did that for a final, right? Thank you. I studied this, not everything you said, just this? Okay. So just this? Okay, cool. Got it. But, like, you still have to go in and show yourself approved, and you still have to take the test. So because we are given this doesn't mean that the test doesn't sit out there. All right. The test is every day we leave here. We get to go see people, especially going through Starbucks lines. Pray for them. I'm just playing. But really, what are we doing? You know, maybe we are praying for that person at Starbucks. What I like to do, and I haven't done it as often now, but I need to get back in the habit of doing it. But when you go out to eat, you have a server, right? Somebody has to give you the food, right? Simple question. Hey, we're going to pray for our meal. Is there anything we can pray for you for? And a lot of times, I got this in college. One of my professors said this, or maybe somebody, one of the pastors I was attending church at then, just And he didn't just tell me about it. We sat down. That's what it was, the church I was attending. We sat down, had a meal. But before we did, he asked that simple question. Hey, I'm going to pray for my meal. Is there anything I can pray for you for? And then, like, some people say no. No. And Brittany and I, we've had that happen a few times where people say no. We're like, okay, well, sorry, I'm going to pray for you anyways. You might not see receive a blessing from it, but I'm going to pray for you. But when they say yes, a lot of times that's the moment in their day they're just like, they needed that. You know, like, and we get to be that little bit to them. Now, we pray that they have a better day. We have a, pray that they have a lot of the great days. I always like to invite them to hear and stuff, and I'm kind of partial to the church. I've been here a few times. But I always like to bring them here, not for the church's sake, but for God's sake. All right? We don't say go on social media to promote our church, but we do promote our church because we want to promote God. All right? It's not about these four walls. It's about the people we bring to these four walls to bring the word. And God is so good. He just shows up every time. Okay? So the words we underlined were in 1 Peter 1:3. I'm actually going to read that one again really quickly. 1 Peter 1:3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy," hallelujah, his great mercy, not his stingy mercy, not a just barely enough mercy, his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope. We enter in right here. That movement right there, we entered in to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now again, God told his son, Jesus, what was going to happen. It wasn't a surprise. It wasn't a surprise when he told his disciples. They came surprised, but, you know, again, where they kind of missed it, but, you know, it's a good thing. It wasn't a surprise to Jesus. He said, guys, this is going to happen. All right? Please get on board with me. But again, 1 Peter 1:3 shows us a living hope. And then 1 Thessalonians 5:8 was showing us a saving hope. Hebrews 6:19 shows us a sure hope. Romans 8:24 shows us his unseen hope. And Titus 3:7 shows us he is our eternal hope. Okay? So if you could take those five scriptures and look at his hope there, you could get through a lot, right? You get through anything, really. But there's more to it. So feel free to open it anytime. And even if it's on your phone, I'm not condemning the phone. I love my cell phone. I don't love my cell phone. I love the Bible that's on the cell phone, which is so cool. All right? It is so cool, really. Because even if you're walking down the street, something happens. I can actually Google a scripture for that. Or I can look at my phone. And then you can just go right back to it. I need to do that more often, too. You know, I still miss it. We all still miss it every once in a while. But why not go to the unseen hope, the living hope, a sure hope, an eternal hope, and that is Jesus. So I'm going to end in prayer, but I hope you got something today. I hope you were fed today, but my hope in you being fed is actually my hope in God, because I know that he did it. I know that he had a word for everybody here, and I know that somebody got something out of it because he showed up. Amen. And we know that for a fact because you can't deny it. Too many things happened today for me to see that God was already here before I even got here. So, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for sending your son. I thank you for an eternal hope. I thank you that even though it's an unseen hope, we still have a sure hope in you. I thank you so much that you always, always, always show up. So, Lord, I thank you that you are going to always show up. And I just ask that we would all leave out of here a little bit different and see you today and really hope that we all look to you in more cases. In Jesus' mighty name.